Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mother, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is D. Earl Stevens. Earl is enough. He is an author. He's also the former managing editor of Stars and Stripes and a Navy vet. He just wrote a great article about his grandmother. We're going to talk about that, the GOP debates, Donald Trump's mugshot, and much more. But before we do, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get 2 bonus What's Up episodes per week. Kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever is on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with D. Earl Stevens. Welcome back to the show, Earl.
Hey, Kimberly.
Earl. It just makes me laugh to say Earl because it was my grandfather's name and like my dad's middle name and my brother's middle name. And then there's this, my dad's friend, whenever my dad gets a dog, he would just give the dog the middle name Earl. It's like there's all the Earls.
Distinguished men and dogs all, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I will try to live all of them. Yeah. Happy mugshot day, by the way.
No kidding. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to get into all the crazy ass news. But first, okay, yesterday I was talking to my mom.
Yeah.
I always talk to her every morning and she's like, oh, you got to read Earl Stevens' latest. And she said, you know, he wrote about his grandmother and it's going to remind you of someone, which is our aunt. Well, it's my aunt, her sister, because basically The same, she's still with us, but the same thing happened. So I just, you know, I read it and thought, oh, I gotta talk to Earl.
Yeah. All right. That's good, I guess. I love your mom, by the way.
Yes. It's all love. We all love each other. So talk to me about this article.
Well, okay, sure. It's basically a story about my grandmother, who was born in 1912, which is before women could even vote. She took good care of me as a kid. I had a semi-rough upbringing, and she was kind of sheltered from the storm. But along came a guy many years later named Rush Limbaugh, who, you know, tickled her fancy. So I write in a piece basically how he kind of stole her from me, if you will, and how she started listening to the bilge that came out of that guy's mouth, because basically she was who that guy preyed upon.
Yeah.
And who the modern day Republican Party is now preying upon. And so she fell for the propaganda, and I had been thinking about her one day, and I'm always thinking about this propaganda, and I just wanted to kind of tap a vein and tell the story about Alice and how Rush Limbaugh stole her at times cold heart.
Yeah.
And I put it out there, and there it is.
And it was really good. And it, like my mother said, yeah, it did remind me of my aunt, because, you know, my aunt and her used to kind of laugh at the John Birch Society back when they were younger. And now she's kind of become one of them. And it, the same thing, she loved Rush Limbaugh. He was the one. And then, did you ever see the movie The Brainwashing of My Dad?
No.
I highly recommend it. Could just look it up. I don't know where you can find it right now. But it's exactly this. It was a man who, I guess it was this woman's father, he was a liberal. And then because he was in his car every day, and, you know, having some kind of a commute, he found Limbaugh. And the thing about these talk radio shows specifically, especially with the right wingers, it's like they get into your brain. It's very personal, and it feels as if they're talking specifically to you and you're alone with them. So it's like an intimate kind of a setting where you're listening to these people. And it's just like you said, preyed upon them. And, you know, each person who's in this movement, in this cult, has their reasons, or there are the reasons that they are, you know, angry or whatever it is.
Right.
And they're being told okay, you're angry. I mean, not in these kinds of terms, but this is what's happening. It Rush Limbaugh is basically saying, okay, there are things that you're angry about, and you have a good reason to be angry about them, and you know whose fault it is? It's the Democrats' fault. And that's you know, that's what's happening. Because, you know, I just went to my sister's wedding over the weekend, and my aunt and I were talking. I lived with her briefly in 1981. And it was really fun. It was, to me, it was kind of like a Brady Bunch experience compared to my mom, who, my mom and dad were more, not hippies, but they were more on that side of things. And they their life would, so when I went to live with my aunt and uncle, they were more like the Brady Bunch. And they had like a huge group of friends. And they, they lived on a property that was like three acres. So like there would always be summer parties and softball games. And it was fucking awesome. And, you know, I remember just loving that experience. And my aunt was saying, you know, back then, I couldn't have told you anybody, like, who anybody voted for.
Yeah, and, that's right.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, sure, there were conservatives and there were liberals in that group, but everybody got along and nobody gave a shit about, you know, how they were voting. And it wasn't this divided. I mean, yeah. And times, you know, she came up when my parents did. So there was the Vietnam War. There was all the, you know, Nixon stuff. But I think, though, we're now, I think Rush Limbaugh kind of started this, I don't know, I don't know if he started the MAGA movement particularly, no, he didn't, Trump did, but you know what I mean, one thing leads to another, leads to another, and I think Rush Limbaugh kind of started what we're seeing now. I mean, do you agree?
I do, I think that, you know, and I got into this in the piece a little bit. If you remember, too, the time that he came along in and grew up in, if you will, on the radio was the Reagan years, when, you know, the radical right, religious right, had tremendous sway, and of course still does in the Republican Party. That's the first time it was really out there for everybody to see. And, you know, as I also said, you know, the 60s and 70s, as you just alluded to, were kind of rough and tumble decades, you know. And so, as I put sarcastically, and I saw, you know, this piece also not only went up on Substack, but Russ Dory picked it up. Awesome. And I saw a lot of comments. And, and one thing I said, and I meant it as sarcasm, and I said that white people in that time just needed a hug. You know, and right. And so he, you know, he knew what buttons to push inside of people, white people, who were feeling somehow aggrieved. And so he found an audience. And I guess what I'm most surprised about to this day, Kimberly, is that Democrats haven't figured out a way, or have tried and not successfully figured out a way to not only combat this nonsense, but to get on the radio and to get out there to their people, if you will, and to start, hate to use the word programming, but at least filling them with facts and ammunition that they can take with them, you know? And we just haven't been able to do it. Right-wing radio is just so bloody dangerous, man.
It is. It's radio and TV,
Yeah, so. Well, anyway, thanks for bringing that up. It was... that one was tapping a vein. That was going pretty deep. And anyway, but thanks for bringing that up.
Well, I kind of want to add on to it and say, I think that, you know, I mean, there have been, we've got the liberal podcasts, right? We do have that. That's not the same thing as what Rush Limbaugh is doing or did. But I think the reason it does so well, and the reasons Democrats or liberals have not been able to figure out a way to do the same thing, except with, you know, education, is because A, it's not sexy. It doesn't, it's not making them angry. It's like when things are, you know, Democrats are the adults, right? And they, obviously not all of them, but just in a general sense here, I think it's not sexy and it's not exciting to talk about these kinds of things. Although the way that they're, the way that, like, Rush Limbaugh isn't focusing on like important policy that's boring. He's focusing on racism and sexism and all that. And so, yes, the Democrats or liberals could do some kind of, I don't know, show or something, but it's like, what's going to keep people's interest? Because usually what keeps people's interest is something that triggers them emotionally, whether it's positive or negative. So obviously the right knows how to trigger negative very well, you know? So, I mean, I don't even know what we could do that would be on the same level as what Rush Limbaugh is doing, except in a positive way. I lost you, so we'll just pick right up. So yeah, I was basically saying, you know, I don't know what liberals could do that would trigger the thing that needs to be triggered to get them interested. Do you know what I mean?
I do. You know, as you were saying that, you know, there are a couple caveats, obviously, these podcasts, and they're just, you know, this one, and there's so many that really are tremendous. I think that Stephanie Miller does a,
yes,
a
she's
really
great.
Good,
yes.
good job. You know, it's comedic to be sure, and yeah. I don't know that we've ever needed a laugh more than we have now. You know, that was basically the premise of my book a few years ago, the same thing, because we could all maybe just laugh at it. So she's on here in Madison, mm-hmm. and I will listen to her when I can. But it's still, you know, here in Wisconsin, it's probably the airwaves are flooded with 90% mm-hmm. conservative talk radio mm-hmm. And 10%, what would you call it, liberal
right.
talk radio, if
right.
you will. So we've got some room there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're also too serious, right? You know, that's part of it too. And the Republicans are, anyway, moving right along.
Republicans are not serious at all, and we're too serious.
Yeah, and that's as nicely as I can put it. You know, I think of that episode in Succession. I'm going to guess you watched that.
I have not, actually. I have not watched it.
Oh, wow, okay. And so Logan Roy, you know, old Logan Roy says to his children, you are not serious people.
Exactly.
And that's basically how I would describe the Republican Party at this time, and that's as nicely as I could put
yes. it. Well, and you told me you did not watch the debate, correct?
I did not watch the debate, no.
You saved yourself.
I could not do it. Yeah.
Oh, I watched it with Bob. We watched about an hour and 14 minutes, and then I'm like, can we please watch something else now? And,
yeah.
you know, we wanted to, I did want to watch some of it because I needed to kind of like see what was going on. And I got to say, it was, I don't know if I would call it surprising, but there were some interesting moments. I think, you know, Nikki Haley was quite surprising when it came to some of the things that she said, because she actually blamed the economy on Donald Trump and specifically said it was not Biden, which was
yes.
like, oh, what? And then
I did see that. Yes.
What else? Yeah. Oh, and then is it Vivek? Yeah, that's his name. Vivek.
Yeah.
I had his name and now I can't
That's
remember.
All right. I know who you're talking about.
So let's just call him Vivek.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So no, you know what? I'm going to take that back. Let's just call him Cocaine Squirrel, because that's what he is. That's what I'm going to refer to him. Now, I mean, the guy is so incredibly insufferable, but I thought he was interesting because, I mean, he was insufferable, right? Every time he was on screen, he was irritating. He was arrogant. He was filled with conspiracy theories. He was like Trump. He was trying to be Trump. And it looks like he's trying to be both Tim Scott and Vivek, I think, want to be the VP. I think Tim Scott has a better shot at it. But I'm wondering if Vivek is going to be beneficial to the Democrats, because even though he put out the idea that the voting age should be raised to 25, which I know young people won't like, I think that he might appeal to the young Trump supporters out there, and he might even draw some, you know, attention away from Donald Trump. I don't know. Do you know enough about him? Have you seen him?
I don't know. Before talking to you, I read a piece by Frank Bruni in the New York Times. It's as good a thing. He's probably, for my money, the best writer out there. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, he did his take on the debate last night. It was, like I said, beautifully written.
Yeah.
And he called this guy Vivek, you know, Trump's fanboy. And I could see it. You know, I didn't watch it, A, because I just didn't want to subject myself to it. But also because none of those people are going to be the president of the United States.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. Not one of them is going to be the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so either Joe Biden's going to be the president of the United States or we're fucked. That's the end of the story, you know? And so I just couldn't do it, Kimberly. I can't do it.
I totally understand. And I, you know, if I wasn't doing this for a living, I wouldn't have watched either. But I just, I wanted to watch some of it just so I could get, like, you know, I wanted to see what Mike Pence was going to say and do. I wanted to see fucking Chris Christie. You know, I mean, he's being labeled as a straight shooter now. And it's like, God, what is fucking wrong with our media? You know, he has backed Trump for the whole time. And now he's coming out because he, you know, that's great. I'm really glad that he's saying the truth because he is. Yeah. But he's a politician and he's using the truth to his benefit. That's what he's doing.
It's he is. I mean, and he's a politician, so he sees a lane that's wide open on the Republican side for the most part, right? I believe I have this right, but the question was asked if Trump was convicted of one of his 91 counts, would you still support him? And all the hands went up, I guess, except for Christie's and the Hutchinson. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Christie.
And so he's exploiting that. At least he is separating himself. I agree completely. He's a freaking fraud. I'm I'm a born and bred Jersey guy, and we know he's full of shit. He's always been full of shit. But, you know, as a politician, I think he's doing the smart thing here, and at least exploring a different lane.
And I mean, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that he's telling the truth. I like it when these Republicans finally start telling the truth, and he is telling the truth. But it's like, you know, but don't give him more credit than he deserves, because he is using that truth for himself.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah. So and I just hate when I see the media doing that, when they act, you know, they give someone credit for something they don't deserve credit for. And then, you know, they don't give Joe Biden credit for all that he's done. And oh, God, the other thing that was driving me nuts last night. Thankfully, everybody's all over it, but it doesn't matter. It's just the Republicans, didn't matter who it was, kept repeating this whole late term abortion, like up till the day, till the day. That's already illegal, and no doctor is going to do that. And they just perpetuate this lie, and it makes me so fucking angry, because it, you know, there was somebody that I had on my podcast. I'm not going to say who he was, because I found out he did something. Actually, he raped someone that I know. And they came to me after the show and they said, hey, Kimberly, he raped me. So I had to delete it. But when he was, I had him on the show and he wanted to be on the show. And he was a Democrat. And the thing that drives me nuts, he's an actor. And a lot of other actors out there love him and are praising him. And it drives me nuts, because I think it's true what was said. But beyond that, what he was parroting this bullshit about late-term abortion, and I'm like, you know, where are you getting this from? Donald Trump had just said it, and it's like, you're a Democrat and you're listening to what Donald Trump says and taking it as if it's true.
What?
I just don't understand.
If you're sourcing Donald Trump, I'm hanging the phone up on you.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh my God, I couldn't believe the idiocy coming out of his fucking mouth. And
I know, but so Kimberly, you know, this goes back to this whole talk about propaganda where we started, you know, they know full well who they're talking to, and it isn't them. So they can say anything they want, right? It doesn't matter. You know, sure, the media can fact check the hell out of them and all that kind of stuff. They're still going to say it. It's still going to land where they want it to land.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 100%. Because like you said, there's their target audience, and that's what they want to hear.
How does that win over independence?
Yeah.
Right? And I you know, on my best days, and I occasionally have them still, I just don't see the math, the theorem for Republicans winning. Yeah. I don't for the life of me understand how that can happen. And I'm sitting in the battlegroundiest of the battleground states. We have to win.
Hey, we have to take a quick break, but we will be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly. If you're not already my patron, just visit patreon.com/startmeup. You can take a look at all the tiers and decide how you want to support the show. Thank you so much. Okay, we're back.
This episode is brought to you by Kia's first three-row all-electric SUV, the Kia EV9, with available all-wheel drive and seating for up to 7 adults, with a 0-60 speed that thrills you 1 minute, and available reclining lounge seats that unwind you the next. Visit kia.com/EV9 to learn more. Ask your Kia dealer for availability. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Always drive safely.
we, you know, won the last statewide election up here for Supreme Court by plus 11.
Yes.
Which is like winning like by plus 70 in like Arkansas.
Right. You know?
It doesn't happen. And so I'm wondering what changes between now and November of 2024? Now, nothing's good. They're a long time to go, but I just don't see it, you know?
No.
Do you see it?
Not at all. No. I mean, here, I will always, because of Donald Trump and because we saw what happened with Donald Trump in 2016, it's hard for me to feel 100%. But I can't help but feel like we're watching the Republican Party's reaction to 2020 and 2022, and what they're doing is doubling down on all the things that people hate.
That's right.
And so I just don't see how they win with that. I mean, I see how they win with cheating. Yes, 100%. And that's how Donald Trump won 2020, is because he had help from Russia. He, you know, they were watching those battleground states, and they were pushing lies specifically in those battleground states. I don't know exactly the extent of what they did, and it was cheating to a degree, but I don't know exactly how they did I'm going to use that word one more time. I just don't know the exact way they were able to pull off what they pulled off. But there was a lot of propaganda. There was a lot of disinformation. Unfortunately, the Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, division, whatever you want to call it, that definitely got in the way too. But
that was a huge part.
It was a huge part. And, in this case, I don't know. I don't see anybody coming along. I mean, it's not going to be Cornel West or RFK. That they're not going to do the kind of damage. And when I say damage, what I mean is damage to the division, because the same division happened with Hillary and Obama. You know, there was the PUMA. It was like, what did PUMA stand for? Somebody who's listening knows, and they're saying it, and party unity my ass. That's what it was. So it was like people hated Obama and they loved Hillary, and and so there was that, but that was when we had normal times.
Relitigating 2016 is still very interesting to me. It was a lot of people described it, or some, as, Trump had to be dealt an inside straight to win it. Every card had to be perfect and everything fell into place, so he's able to somehow get the election. There's no question, and Republicans actually, their own committee did a study on this, that Russia did interfere in the election. By the way, the Mueller report said the same thing.
Yes.
People forget that, and we somehow allowed Barr to just co-opt that fucking thing too, which is, which was amazing in its own right. But, getting back to the point, it used to be, right, if you'd lose an election, you'd say, okay, what did we do wrong?
Right, yeah.
And how do we fix that? And as you said, Republicans instead are saying, no, we're just going to keep banging away at the same damn thing, and it's going to change. I'm telling you, it's going to change. And I'm not sure even they believe it.
Right.
I really am not. They're just scared of
Trump. Yeah, they're stuck because of Donald Trump. They have to cater to his clowns and his cultists. And even though they're in the minority, they're so loud, and they are controlling the party, and it's unbelievable. And I will never take anything for granted. And I know that going into that night, let's just say 2024, the evening of, I wish I could just take drugs and not even stay awake for the whole thing, because I get so completely stressed out.
I know exactly what you're saying. I'm not built for losing. I'm just not, and I remember, in 2020 here in Wisconsin, and it was closer than hell because most elections here are close. And there was a moment where I will admit to you, and it was about 4 in the morning. Okay. It was 4 in the morning. I'm on my deck and I'm looking at the numbers and I'm thinking, oh my God, Trump might actually win up here.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know that I can handle this at all. Right. Now, thank God that didn't happen. But the other part about all of this is that we're not talking near enough about, in my opinion, is if Trump is in jail,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there is no way, in my mind, if he does not go to jail, we're done as a country.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's it. He needs to go to jail.
Yeah, he absolutely does, because the message, if he doesn't, is that, hey, if you want to break the law, just run for office, because you'll be protected forever. If, especially if you're a wealthy white man, you just get away with every crime. But I think with funny,
if you're in a position where you could just wreck the whole country for good.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
He's got 91 counts.
I know.
Right. I was talking to my brother on the phone last night, and I was thinking, you know, we're not hammering this enough. He's got 91 counts. So let's say he finally gets some decent lawyers. I see he's got a new one in Georgia now. And he's able to beat 79 of these. That's still 12 felony counts. You're going to jail for the rest of your life, man.
Yeah.
It's not, this is how it works. It's not like, oh, you're either, you know, you're guilty of all 91 or you're not. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
He most certainly is going to be found guilty of charges.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. End of story. He's got to go to jail.
Yeah, you know, and I think we've got a decent shot at that now, whether it's in D.C. or in Fulton County, because, you know, we can't count on Eileen Cannon. We'll see what happens with her. Obviously, she's got to protect herself. And if she continues to behave like a partisan judge, she's going to screw herself. But even if she goes all the way and she protects Trump, we've got these other two judges and we've got these other two prosecutors that are, well, not two, but you know what I mean. It's Fani and Jock Smith. And they're not fucking around. And D.C., D.C. and then Fani Willis is the first one to treat Donald Trump like any other criminal. He still gets more than most. But there's a bond. He's going to have his mug shot today, as we talked about. We're all fucking waiting for that. And, you know, I mean, I think that... I've said this before, but more than likely what's going to happen is if he gets convicted, it'll probably be like on a military site where, you know, he's not in gen pop. He's going to have his own place and he'll be guarded by. I hope that that's what they do, because I swear to God, I don't think we shouldn't even be discussing Mar-a-Lago as an option. It's like, no.
He's got to go to jail. He's got to go to jail.
None of this bullshit house arrest.
Yeah. No, he's got to go to jail. He's got to spend the rest of his life in jail. And that's it. I mean, he's got 91 counts. I don't know what the possibility of sentencing is on years.
Yeah.
But say 91 times 10, that's almost 1,000 years, possibly, right? He's got to go to jail.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. 1,000 years, I wish. Yeah. Oh, my God. But I mean, you know what? Even if all he gets is 5, I honestly think he would just die in jail, because I don't think he could handle that. I don't think he's mentally prepared to spend any time. And the thing is with this RICO situation.
Right.
I think isn't 5 the minimum? And then it's like they're all going to get it. They're all going to get it. If one gets it, all get it. And so I think the very minimum of it is 5. So at the very minimum. Even if all he get, and that wouldn't be enough, but if that's all he got, I just can't see. Because, I mean, imagine he will not have access to his hair dye. He won't have access to his bronzer. He's not going to look, you know, and so part of his whole thing in his mind is what he looks like. And he's going to lose that look. I mean, it looks ridiculous to us, but, you know, his fans love the orange face and the yellow hair and all that. He's not going to have it anymore. He's going to have white hair, which I actually think looks better on him, because there was a brief time in 2020 where I think it was after COVID, his hair looked white and he looked fucking better. He looked like a normal human being, kind of. And, you know, but it's like he's not going to have his bronzer. He's, you know, he's not going to have whatever he does to his hair every day. He's not going to have that shit. So he's going to look different. He's going to feel different. It's going to weigh on him and wear him down.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, if he gets, you know, 5 years, the guy's 77 now.
Yes.
I mean, he's wildly unhealthy. You know, I mean, he's one Big Mac away from just ending it all. I mean, he's just one of the most unhealthy looking people I've ever seen. He's gross, you know? So he's not built for any of that, whether it's 30 days or 5 years or 30 years.
Yeah.
He's not going to handle it. And here's another prediction for you when this happens, not if, because again, it has to happen, Kimberly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's really, in my mind, it has to happen.
Yeah.
There's not going to be this wild outpouring of grievance and rot in the street. We've seen this. No one wants to go to jail for this guy.
No.
There's already been, 1,000 plus people have gone to jail for him.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it, man. We'll just move on.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other one I hear that drives me crazy. Oh, it's going to be unrest and crazy, and this will just be, no, it won't.
No.
Why? No, it won't. He's an entertainment act, and he's just going to be sent to jail. That's it. The entertainment's over. They love him for the entertainment, man. Not because he says anything they necessarily believe in all the time.
Yes. He makes them feel better. And I think, you know, you might see some terrorism here and there, like we're seeing now. You know,
exactly. We're already seeing this.
Yeah. So it's just going to be far and few between. And it's not going to necessarily stop. But again, it's like you said, people don't want to go to jail for this man. And they're just going to have to move on and find someone else. And it's funny because, oh my God, DeSantis was so bad. And I just think it's funny to watch his demise, because I have to admit, I was one of the people who were, I was afraid. I kind of thought, oh no, he's going to be Trump, but like the new younger version. Yeah. And he's terrible. I mean, Trump is terrible, but... Oh.
You've heard this name before, but I'll give it to you again, and I can tell you who DeSantis is, and that's Scott Walker.
Yes, totally. Yes.
And Scott Walker up here in Wisconsin, and his shtick played pretty well up here with the backing of the Koch brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good network up here, but I had met Scott Walker several times, and honestly, I don't say this because I hate his guts. I do hate his guts, but he's stupider than hell.
Yeah.
And there was no way his stuff was going to play once he got out of his state. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. And what happened is, too, Kimberly, once he got out and got exposed, he came back here and got beat.
Ha ha.
Right? And so now that DeSantis has tried this, I think there's every reason to believe there's a shot when he goes back to Florida, he has become much more vulnerable.
Right.
His aura is dim right now.
And it just feels so good.
Yeah, it does, man.
It feels good.
Right. Like you know, initially I was like, oh, shit. You know, the word was, DeSantis is Trump with brains or something
like this we were hearing.
We since now know that's not really true.
No, that's not.
But, you know, I know when I was talking to people when we were canvassing and working up here in Wisconsin, leading up to the midterms, the kids here, the University of Wisconsin stuff, who were pretty shrewd, would say, yeah, Trump worries me, but the guy who really worries me is DeSantis.
Yeah.
Right. And so like you, like me, you know, as I say this, we're always a little smarter than we give ourselves credit for. That was the worry. We're like, yeah, you know, Trump, you know, he's got that shtick and all that, but you get someone smart in there that knows how to work the levers of government.
Mm-hmm.
We're in deep shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be DeSantis. He's done. I think it's just a matter of time for it. They're all done. Again, everybody on that stage is done.
Yeah.
They're not going to be president.
I can't see it. And I will say, I mean, if somebody like Chris Christie, or even Mike Pence were to become president, as much as I would, you know, be worried and terrified about their stupid fucking policies, I would trust that they would, you know, say, all right, I lost.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think Pence would at least do that much and all that, you know, he has no shot. But that's, you know, that's something else, you know, I wrote about a couple weeks ago. And basically it all came down to Trump not conceding. All he fucking had to do was concede.
Right.
That's it. None of this happens. Really?
Yeah.
None of it. There would have been some ancillary lawsuits. Yeah, he's a convicted rapist, and good for that. Mm-hmm. And you know, great E. Jean Carroll. I love her, obviously, for that. And then the election, bullshit that he pulled in New York. There were going to be ancillary lawsuits, but none of this other stuff happens. Right. If he just concedes like every other fucking human being on earth, just concede, man. Just concede. He couldn't do it.
No. No, and that's the beauty, because it's like, it'll be so interesting to see what happens with Fonnie Willis and Trump's big fat fucking mouth, because I don't think he's going to be able to keep it shut, and she'll throw him in jail. I think, you know, I think, God, was it Bradley Moss? I'm not sure if it was Bradley Moss, but somebody said yesterday, she's going to let him get away with a certain amount. He'll say this, she won't do anything. He'll say that. She won't do anything. And then he's going to start feeling comfortable, and he's going to say the big thing, and that's when he's going to go to jail. And I have a feeling that that's going to happen.
Very plausible. Yeah. Bradley, or whoever said it's giving, I think that Fonnie is not playing one single bit. And he's right. It's probably a shrewder way to go about it than to just let him walk into her trap and say, I told you three times now, dude, this is it. You're now booking you in jail.
Right.
That's all there is to it. I think there's every possibility. If I was laying odds, it's at least 50-50 that he talks his way into jail.
Totally. I totally see that coming. And that'll be interesting. Yeah. That'll be an interesting turn of events. And, you know, first time a president's going to jail, all that stuff. So we have that to look forward to. But I am going to switch gears for the last thing we're going to talk about. And it's something that I have talked about throughout the course of this last 3 years, but it seems to have gotten less and less. But now the COVID variant is ramping up. And I just saw there's going to be, I think it's CDC, I'm not sure, but there's going to be mask mandates once again. And I'm just, you know, I want to get your gauge on it, because ultimately this is where I am. I was just in my sister's wedding last weekend, and I was like, by the time, like, I'm going to go everywhere, I'm going to put my mask on, with few exception. I went out to dinner a couple times, didn't wear a mask, did a few things without wearing a mask. But like, if I go to the grocery store and all that stuff, I wear a mask, and I've been doing it since 2020. So I thought to myself, prior to this new variant coming out, I thought, okay, after the wedding, I'm mask free. Well, here we are. Now there's mask mandates. I mean, it hasn't hit yet, but they're saying they're going to come back, because this new variant is not incorporated in the new vaccine, because it just popped up. So we're going to get a new vaccine at the end of September. Woohoo! But it's not going to include the new variant. There will be some protection, but it won't be specifically for that variant. Bob and I have planned to go to New York. I don't know if we're going to go. In fact, Brian Karam, I've been talking about this forever, but Brian Karam, White House reporter, he lives in our area, and he's going to be playing at a bar in October, because he does, you know, a cover band. And Bob and I, like, I want to go so bad. I think, you know, because there's like the Stephanie Miller fans who live out here. We want to get like a whole group of everybody and go. But now I don't know if we're going to. So how are you feeling about that?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not overly worried.
You're not. And why?
I will obviously get the vaccine if and when it comes out. Mm-hmm. I take some precautions, but not much anymore. Mm-hmm. I did all that. You know, I will follow the science. I'm big on science.
Yeah.
And listen to what they're saying. But I think the bigger picture is here that we won't survive another pandemic in this country.
No.
Because at least 50% of the people will not listen.
Yeah.
And so that's the scary part. What if the variant comes out and it's every bit as deadly as the first one
is? Right. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be twice as deadly now.
Yeah.
Because we are not, and this doesn't get talked about enough either. We are not in a position right now to handle anything like this in this country.
No.
Right now. And that's terrifying, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we are ripe to basically be rubbed out by the next pandemic if and when that comes along, right? So that was a hell of a 2-3 years, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I have not worn a mask, I don't know, in months, you know, and I haven't even really thought about it, to be honest with you. I'm traveling to England in a few weeks. Everything is pretty cool over there, the way I understand it. And so maybe I'm stupid or cavalier or whatever, but I am right now, I'm feeling okay about everything.
Have you ever had COVID?
No.
Yeah, I haven't had it either.
I did not. I never got it. I don't know how that happened. I was, well, I was very cautious, mm-hmm. I guess. I was just lucky, though. I mean, you know, I was just lucky.
Yeah.
But I know plenty of people who had it. I know plenty mm-hmm. of people who are suffering from long COVID right now, you know?
Yeah.
New people who died, as I'm sure you did. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just keeping my eyes open. You know, if it looks like it's getting tricky out there, I'll put the mask on. Yeah. I'll be careful and all that. But.
Well, that's pretty much, I mean, I have been, the reason I have been as cautious as I've been is not only because of long COVID, but there was an article that I recently read that people who, and I can't remember if it's solely from long COVID, but it was just if you had mild symptoms, 2 years later, there are issues with mm-hmm. your heart. There's heart issues, but there's also blood clots that can form. So it's like, you know, the initial, you know, cold or flu that you get from is not my concern. The concern is what happens to your body after. And I mean, the same argument could be used for, you know, any kind of a virus or like the flu right. or something like that. I mean, I've had the flu, and for all I know, maybe there's long lasting effects from it that will show up later. And I just don't know. But I do know that they're finding specifically, that's what scares me, is the long term after you're finished and you're fine and you're feeling fine. You know, years go by and then you get a stroke or whatever it is that's going to happen. That's why it scares me. And it's like, God damn it. Right. As I'm planning on, hey, I'm finally starting to feel like I can let down. I mean, like I said, I have gone to restaurants and I have, you know, gone to different places. In fact, I did a whole patrons only show about this. But my sister, for her bachelorette party, they chose, and it wasn't me, they chose the spa that was like the size of a fucking mall. And oh my God, there were so many people that, and everybody was naked. It was so funny. It wasn't naked co-ed, but there was like the woman's side and the man's side. And then on the woman's side, there was the mandatory nudity because they had salt baths and stuff like that. And it was like, because it was, I've been in gyms before and seen naked people walking around, but this was like, I called it nipple palooza because it was like, oh my God, I saw so many fucking nipples. I couldn't, I was like, don't look at the nipples. Don't look at the nipples. And don't look at the vaginas. I mean, it's really weird to be standing there and people just come up to you and start talking to you and they're naked and you're like, I'm not looking at your nipples.
Well, look, I lived over in Europe for a long time, so you kind of get past that one sort of pretty quick. You're right.
I mean, and I didn't get, knock on wood, I didn't get COVID there, and I mean there were a lot of people, and you know, so I mean I've taken a few, I guess you could call them risks, but ultimately, just as I started to get comfortable, now we've got this new variant. But I mean, I guess, you know, we're going to do what you're doing. We're going to keep an eye on things and then just determine, okay, yes, we're going to do this. No, we're not going to do that and move forward. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to, I mean, personally, I think that's the best way to play it. Look, if people around me start getting sick and all this, I'll be the first one to wear a mask and tread very carefully and all that. So, you know, right now I'm not overly concerned about it. I'm always concerned about it, but
right.
I'm not overly.
Not overly, right.
Especially, you know, again, I'm flying over to England here very shortly. And you know, when you're on airplanes and in airports and all that, you're just ripe to be picked off there. I will be wearing a mask on the plane for what it's worth, but most people won't, I'm sure.
Of course not. Well, let me ask you, are you going for fun or for work?
Yeah. Yeah. My two daughters live in England, actually.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm going over to see my youngest, who is celebrating her 30th birthday.
Wow.
And I just said that out loud. My youngest is celebrating her 30th.
Happy birthday to her.
Yeah, thank you very much. She's just a tremendous gal. So that'll be fine. And I'll be over there for a while. I'm really looking forward to it. Not looking forward to the flight necessarily.
I know. I don't blame you.
But I'm looking forward to being over there and seeing a lot of folks that I know and love over there.
Well, I hope you have a good time. And
I will. I always have a good time, right? Trust me.
I can imagine. And I also hope you don't get COVID. But
I hope I don't get COVID too. But assuming that I don't, I will be enjoying myself greatly.
Right. Well, and that's, I mean, that's like we want to go to New York. Ever since I moved to the East Coast in 2018, I've been wanting to go to New York. And then you know, COVID happened and then it just didn't happen. So I'm just, yeah. I'm hopeful now because, you know, it's funny, Bob and I, we know so many people in New York, both California yeah. and New York, that if we go, we have like endless people to see and endless things to do outside of yeah. just what the city offers. So, you know, yeah, I need to get out among my people. So
yeah, you do. I mean, you know, if for some strange reason you ever decide to hit the Midwest, you will need to stop by here in Madison.
100%.
It's a lively town. And, you know, I have coined it several times in my writing, the capital of democracy.
Wow. Here yeah. in
Madison. We do believe we will be deciding the next election. Oh. And so it's a lively place, man. You know, a lot of left-wing, good-hearted folks here.
Yeah, there's a lot of them across the United States, and we have to acknowledge them more instead of just referring to them as red states. Because even though, yes, there are some really hardcore red states, there are liberals yeah. living in them, and so we have to always remember that because,
well,
you know.
Well, remember this, right? So here's something you can take away. In the run-up to the midterms this past November, when everything looked kind of bleak, you know, mm-hmm. the polls, which I'll never listen to again, that's another one.
Yeah.
As I used to listen to them. At any rate, it didn't look good. And we were thinking, oh, man, it's going to be a red wave, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the night of the election, you know, there's a group of us Ardents here who work hard here in Madison to make sure that Wisconsin stays blue. And you familiar with Ben Wickler?
Yes.
Okay, so Ben, you know, you won't get a better party leader anywhere mm-hmm. than Ben is here right, in Wisconsin. Yeah. And I will argue strenuously he should run the National Democratic Party. But at any rate, he was at this gathering and I came up alongside him and said, okay, I'm nervous, you're nervous, Ben. I said, if you were handicapping or if you wanted, you know, to let someone know it was going to be a good or bad night based on a few of these races, which ones would you point to? And without hesitation, he said, the governor race here in Wisconsin, the governor race in Michigan, and the governor's race in Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We won the governor's race in Wisconsin. We won the governor's race in Michigan. And we won the governor's race in Pennsylvania. That is the blue wall.
Yeah.
And so if people want to feel a little better about what's going on in 2024, you all need to know that not only do we have Democratic governors in these three states, we now have Democratic or liberal-leaning Supreme Courts mm-hmm. in all three of mm-hmm. these states. In 2016, we had none of that.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, man. That There's is. A lot of work being done by a lot of good people in these places.
And yes, and I'm going to actually end this on my optimistic note that I think that, you know, I saw something Alison Gill posted the other day just about 2024 with the assumption that Democrats were going to win. And mm-hmm. she and I love to focus on optimism. And
sure.
what I want to get out to people is I think it's really important that while we have to back it all up with action, I think what we have to focus on, and I want to emphasize focus on, is winning. Yeah. Right. So I instead of saying, oh, my God, we're becoming a fascist country. Oh, my God, I hope the fascists don't win. Oh, my. Yeah. You know, don't focus on them winning. Focus on Democrats winning. And
yeah.
it's not just about wishful thinking because you got to get your ass out and do stuff. But, you know, David Pepper wrote a fantastic book called Saving Democracy. And one of the things that, you know, he talked about was he understands that not everybody feels comfortable knocking on doors or not everybody feels comfortable being a poll worker, but there are yeah. so many different opportunities for regular voters to do things in their own comfort zone. And, you know, like one of the things that he suggested is calling your city council or even, you know, if you could go up to your, if you know, if you're in a situation at work where you have this opportunity, you could set up like voter registration. So you could go to your city council and say, hey, could you set up a voter registration in our library? Or maybe your workplace might have it or something like that. And,
right.
you know, that's not going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to be like knocking on a door and getting a MAGA or whatever it is. Some people are comfortable with it. Some people aren't. And that's okay. Whatever you're comfortable with. But ultimately here, what I'm trying to say is, while we're busy focusing our minds on winning, we got to get our bodies in action to help us win. But I think it's real. I think, you know, and I said this in my patrons only show, but but it made a lot of sense to me because back when I was much younger and, you know, I was menstruating and I would get cramps, I told my father, I said, because there was Pamprin, right? And I took Pamprin. Yeah. And there was the red box and the blue box. And I think the blue box was for like the daytime and the red box was for if you to make you sleepy.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't want the sleepy kind. I wanted the day kind. So what I did was I said, don't get the red box. Whatever you do, don't get the red box. What does he come home with? The red box, because it's what I focused on. So it's like, you know, we need to focus on winning. So I just, I'm going to be pushing this as hard as I can from now into the election because I genuinely believe there's something to it. And that's enough out of me.
No, that's, listen, man, that's, I'm giving you a standing ovation. That's carry yourself like a winner.
Yes.
And that is really odd you say that. So just one more very quick anecdote.
Of course, yes.
So I was speaking to a group up here on Saturday, last Saturday. Like I said, we're ardent up here. We're not fucking around. We're going to win, you know. So we're talking, and I said essentially, do you realize the opportunity that we have here in Madison, Wisconsin? We can be, when history is written, the people that saved our country. You will never get a better opportunity than this ever.
Yeah.
These poor people who are tremendous people who are in Missouri or Arkansas or Alabama, they're no less Democratic and left-leaning than I am. They just happen to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're working hard, but they're not going to see the change they might want to see. We've got the opportunity, man.
Yeah.
To do it. So let's be winners, like you said, and let's go fucking do it.
Fucking A.
Yeah, and we will.
We will do it. I feel good about it. You know, election day, I'll probably be freaking out. But right now, I feel good about it.
Yes, you will.
All right, before I let you go, tell everybody where to find you.
Okay, the best place to find me is probably right now at my Substack home. And I can give you the address on that. That's D. Earl Stevens. It's D-E-A-R-L, D. Earl Stevens. And it's a P.H. Stevens. .substack.com, and you'll get all my stuff there. I publish pretty frequently. Ross Dory, I've just got an agreement with them recently, and they're taking my stuff, so you'll find me on Ross Dory. And then I guess, you know, my Twitter fucking handle Earl of Enough, and I'm over there very grudgingly, but that's where I am. So those are really, you know, those are the best spots to find me.
Awesome. And then I'm everywhere. If you go to the Twitter account, which is now called X, and Elon can fuck himself, but if you go there, you will see my find me pinned tweet, and I'm all over. So I'm on Threads at Kimberly Ann Johnson. It's K-I-M-B-E-R-L-E-Y. Threads just became available on Lap Desktop today. So FYI for those. Yes. So for those of you who want to know, and it's not for all. It's just FYI. It may not be for everybody. I think it's only available to some, but you can give it a try. And actually what I'll do is I'll send you the article. I found it in an article. So I'm going to send you the article. And if you just click on, it says something like, try your luck here. And I clicked on it and I had already set up a Threads account. And so I used my IG password and I got right in. So,
See, I sit here and write in my office and that's been a big problem for me. I try to avoid my phone. So send that to me, please. I will try my luck and see if I'm a special person.
Of course you're a special person, and I love talking to you, and you have an interesting outlook, and oh my God, the whole Wisconsin angle of just having you on is always superb. Because like you said,
I look forward
really
to it
important.
Anytime. I love you.
Big hug. Thanks for being on.
Okay, you bet.
Bye-bye.